Welcome to Discovery New Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today I've got the Macias brothers here. That's Drew and Vinny Macias, and their film, Shoot 'Em Dead, one of my favorites. It was at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2019, and not only did it basically bring down the house with humor, and I watched it again this morning, like 2 years later. I know exactly what's going to happen in this film. I watched it like three times in 2019. I watch it again now. I'm still laughing. So, guys, thank you for the great comedy.
Yes, thank you.
They're here because Shoot 'Em Dead is in the Discovery Indie Film TV series on Amazon Prime. So if you want to watch it, just go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discovery Indie Film. And they are in Season 3, Episode 8 with Shoot 'Em Dead, which is actually a really fun episode because there's four comedies in there and they're all fairly outrageous. In fact, it's that episode is kind of like the competition of who can be the most outrageous.
Yeah, perfect.
And so it's a pleasure to have you guys here. And I was just going to, I always start off by asking you, tell me about yourselves and, you know, you are the Macias brothers. Were you always into filmmaking? Is it something you started your whole lives? Go ahead. Let me know where you come from.
When I think about my favorite pastimes, it's going to the movie theaters back in the heyday of, you know, of our childhood in the 90s and even the early 2000s. Some of my favorite movies are from that era. And just grew up on the movies. Our dad would always take us to the video stores, which are dead now. I don't even think they exist anymore. I think there's like one by us in Claremont. But that for me was my favorite thing growing up, was either going to the video store or going to the movies. Early age, ever since we had a video camera, him and I, we'd just mess around and just film whatever. And back then we didn't even have an editing program. We would just literally film it on the camera and then just like plug it into the TV. If we wanted to add music, we had to hold the speaker up to the camera.
Oh yeah.
And it was good. It was great. So
editing camera worked back then when you had, you know, whatever VHS high eight, you could just hit pause and then set up again and then continue the scene.
Yeah. But back then, I mean, again, like if I saw Drew, like, Drew, your right foot went forward when I pushed stop. So in the next shot, I got to make sure your right foot is fine. Well, you know, once iMovie happened for, you know, Apple, when I first started on that, that was like just revolutionary. It's like, oh my God, we don't have to be that precise. We can just, you know, have lead in. But
from the beginning, was it Drew in front of the camera and Vinny holding the camera and you guys writing together?
It was pretty much, I mean, I felt like I kind of always had that flair for I want to go in front of everyone and make everyone laugh. And I was kind of, I had that role. And Vinny's the idea guy. He's the one always coming up with these fun ideas, but Shoot 'Em Dead was entirely his idea. And then we kind of from there, work off each other. He probably doesn't want me to talk about this, but we actually, one of our most epic films we ever shot that the world will never see, was My Pet Monster doll. And it was, the doll came to life and it was chasing me around. And we literally started off as like, you know, 5 minutes. Hey, we're doing this for 5 minutes, showed our family. They loved it. The next one was what, 15 minutes?
Yeah. And
by the third one, it was 45 minutes.
Yeah. And it was halfway during the first one that we got a computer that I could edit on. So like the first half of the movie is the old school way of us like editing in camera. And then the second half, once I learned like the editing process, then it grew and then it blossomed. And, you know, then the ideas got bigger because now I suddenly had an editing program. And it was like, well, hey, let's, you know. But the world will never see those, unfortunately.
Yeah. Sounds like an epic masterpiece in like classic 80s horror of just running from the monster.
Exactly. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, it's great. And that's the great thing about, you know, certain comedy is just like, you don't want people to laugh at this. But at the same time, it's like I look back and I laugh more at just the quality. But back then I thought it was good. Like I couldn't believe it. Looked like I had a multi-camera setup on some of those scenes we did. But now I look at it just like, oh, geez, you could see the hands holding the monster. You'd see the strings. but it has a charm to it. It has such a lo-fi charm that I, you know, I still
like. I bet it does. I mean, is this middle school or high school or?
This was, yeah, high school. I was like a junior, and yeah, he was already graduated. But yeah, he would he would come back from baseball at the time, and he'd be home for a couple months, and during that time he'd come home, and I'd just have a new idea, and we'd film it.
I'd always be up for it. He'd be like, "Hey, Drew, we're gonna shoot a movie." I'm like, "All right, let's do it." I got between working out. Other than that, I don't got anything to do. Let's do
and
it.
And you always liked acting. I mean, he would do theater back in high school and middle school drama. So I never liked being in front of the camera too much. So that was our trade-off.
And Drew, you did acting. That did you? I heard something about sports, but did you pursue that, or has it really just been for fun?
I still do pursue it. But it's been more, you know, it's like in that industry, I've honestly, you know, doing the whole acting thing, I got to be in a couple TV shows and that. I honestly like creating stuff. You know what I mean? And so like I got into writing and we worked on scripts with Vinny and ideas and just coming up with these little shorts. And so to me, it's kind of moved on more to that than actually pursuing it diehard. Cause I felt like I was just kind of, you know, my wheels were spinning and I was in mud.
Cause I got to say, you've got a killer screen presence.
No, I appreciate that.
And your performance in Shoot 'Em Dead, man, it's excellent. It's excellent in the beginning when you think it's serious.
Yeah.
And then when it's funny, you're funny as hell. And I actually even had a specific question that I didn't even ask at the Q&A at the festival, which was that freeze frame at the end where you get shot in the head.
Yeah.
The face you pull is remarkably funny.
I could do that on cue. I remember Vinny, I was like, how are we going to do this shot? Which was basically the whole day was me asking, how are we going to do this shot all day? And I can do this weird thing with my eye.
It literally looks like you have a mini stroke when you get shot. It's like this, half your face just.
Well, I was just trying to think of like, what would it feel like if you got shot right in the forehead? Spoiler alert. What would it feel like? Like, obviously your eyes would probably go cross-eyed and,
the way your face droops, it was really disturbing.
I think in a past life I was shot right in the forehead and it just seeped in. I don't know.
Are you looking at it, Vinny? Are you actually looking at the freeze frame there? It looked like you were looking at it. Half his mouth drops.
My eye drips. Yeah, I'm looking at you and Drew at the same time.
Yeah, the same time. We call him the chameleon.
Yeah.
Most excellent. So you were making stuff there, and were you guys basically doing it for fun, or was Shoot 'Em Dead not the first time you took something to the festival circuit?
No, it wasn't. Like 2 years prior to that, we did I did a 15-minute short that went to, I think, three festivals. Two were out here and one was in Arizona. And Drew, at the same time, he was in that movie that I was making. He was one of the characters. He wasn't the main character, but he was in the film. And he was also involved in where he was a main role with a friend
in another drama.
Yeah. Both films were dramas.
Which is weird because I feel like – when it comes to acting, I've always, you know, there's something about, you know, dramatic acting, and I've never really even kind of tapped into like going and doing more comedy stuff. It's always been drama. When we write stuff, it's drama. When we have ideas, it's drama. But when we come up with these little shorts, it's always like, oh, that'd be absurd. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's just a great way to kind of release, you know, you just kind of have this release. Like, oh, this is because we're absurd in general. We love comedy. But for some reason, the more I think about it, every time I come up with an idea, it's more of a drama. I would love to make a comedy, but I feel like the idea of doing a full feature comedy, that seems really challenging. I think comedy is so specific and you want people to laugh for all the right reasons. I just think that's a really big challenge. So, you know, eventually it'd be fun. But when I think of most ideas, I either think of like straight up dramas and, you know, some dramedy, I would say. But doing these little shorts, comedy shorts, are for me very, you know, gratifying.
Yeah, it sounds like it's almost a little release valve.
Yeah.
Well, because you're not doing, it's like there's so often that you're not doing anything. It's, and again, that's what was happening with acting. It's like there'd be times where all of a sudden I was like, ooh, I booked this role. I'm on this new, you know, show. And then, you know, 5 months goes by and you get nothing. And then also it's like, hey, I got some auditions. I got some callbacks. Oh, I'm on a veil. And then there's nothing. So, you know, we have this thing to where it's like, I want to make something. I want to do something. I want to try to keep something sharp. So I think sometimes every now and then it's just, let's make something. Yeah. We got to make something.
And with the advent of social media and you can upload videos, anytime we do like a little post, a story or something, we just do absurd stuff. He always does absurd stuff whenever we're hanging out. So we go, hey, let's actually record it and just put it out there. Yeah. And people always respond well to it. So then we say, hey, well, let's take it to the next level and actually apply quality in terms of the picture and sound and not just do everything on our phones. So that's where, you know, kind of evolved was it's just people are so hungry now for content. And, you know, it's just – it takes a long time to make a movie and, you know, get the funds for it. But when we're doing these little shorts, we can just use our camera, our gear, and just throw something quickly together. And that was what Shoot 'Em Dead was. I mean, we did it literally in one half day.
Yeah, it was like probably 4 hours.
4 hours. We got everyone together and we just kind of went. We didn't really storyboard. We just said, let's just shoot and – We'll worry about the editing when we have to. But
and it looks great. I mean, whatever camera you used, it looks great.
Yeah, it was.
We borrowed a buddy who's got a nice.
He's the one that actually. Oh, Gary, he's in it. He's the one that's shooting literally two feet in front of Drew.
Yeah,
and he gets shot in the head. Yeah.
That guy. He's got a really nice Sony camera, so we use that. And he's got a really nice lens.
Yeah. So really, we just had to hire a sound guy to come and get some sound for us and. It was smooth. I mean, again, like there are times in anyone that can, you know, recall their filmmaking experience. Not all the time things go as smoothly, but somehow everyone showed up. They were in good spirits. I just said, hey, let's start wide and then just go in and we just threw it together. I mean, the more I look at like, we don't really have that much, that many like alternate angles we did. Like we kind of got lucky. I just felt like, oh, everything just was, we were just on it and it, you know.
But also sounds like you've had decade plus just, you know, what better training is there than editing in camera as far as knowing how to get what you need in the moment? So you were there with over, you know, probably 12, 15 actors moving around in the space. And you just knew how to use that camera to grab what you needed.
Yeah, I'm even glad we started like even the orientation, like where Drew was, because there were so many doors. Like within that setup, that set that we could have started, but I even just like what building we chose. We just kind of said, oh yeah, let's just start here. It just feels right. I don't know why, but it just feels right. And everything just, you know, again, you're just kind of making it up as you go and everything is where it needs to be as you're filming it. So I was like, oh, we got lucky. Like, cause I've been on shoots before where it's not as smooth and you have to really problem solve. And the weather was fine. There was no wind. It was great. Because that's always the, you know, pain in the ass with shooting outdoors is, you know, the wind. So everything was just where it needed.
Yeah, actually, the wind kills your sound and all of a sudden.
And we weren't making a tornado movie. So
it was supposed to have a tornado. There was no wind. So we cut the tornado.
Yeah. I get it. By the way, I got to add that it's fascinating to me that you sit down and write some serious dramas, especially when you go longer. Because I will always remember you as the brothers, the pair who showed up at the festival and introed your own film with a musical piece.
Right? Yeah.
And it was funny as shit. Absolutely dead funny. And that crowd did not know what they were getting into, and it was so funny.
Oh, yeah. That was so – so we did this other festival, and they wanted us – you had to go up and talk about your film. And so me and Vinny being us, we were like, dude, there's no way we can just go up there and introduce our film. We gotta come up with something. So literally probably 2 days before that, we sat down and wrote this little skit, and then I just crammed it. Like, I gotta memorize these lines. We gotta get into character. And then we showed up.
It was also a technique just to make our film longer.
Because it was like we hear these guys are on stage doing this whole spiel, singing a song, talking about this, and then literally longer than the film itself.
Yeah, which
yeah, the film is 2 minutes flat.
Huh?
Is the film 2 minutes flat? Yeah, right. Just yeah. thereabouts?
Yeah. Two minutes.
Yeah, so your intro is longer.
Originally, we were going to just try to make it a minute because we wanted to post it on Instagram. And this was before Instagram came out with the TV, the IGTV, whatever. So we had to conform to 1 minute. And it was just impossible. Like, we probably could have done it, but it would have been very sloppy. And you need that time to breathe and set it up. How do you do
bullet count jokes when you're not going? Yeah, doubling it from 1 minute to two gave you twice the ridiculousness of the bullet count.
Yeah.
Because it's like the whole – you need the audience to like, okay, they're shooting a lot, and then it's like, wait, they're still going – like it had to have that long. When you watch it, it's like it's the perfect amount where it's like finally at the very end when people are like, okay, then it's over. So
yeah, actually, it is. You did a great edit on that. Because it is edited perfectly that it doesn't wear out its welcome. The comedy, it keeps getting funnier and funnier, and then the resolution is great. Yeah, I bet if it were 3 minutes, I bet the joke might have worn thin, but you edited it perfectly.
Yeah, because I observe that sometimes in movies. Like, you don't want to overindulge in something. It's finding that sweet spot.
Which reminds me. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that just now that we're saying that, like, we posted a video recently of wearing something thin, and it's the exact like why we didn't do that in the movie. The thing that we did, we recently did a fake podcast, and we did a fake podcast. Like, literally, it was like people like, oh, you're starting a podcast? I was like, no, we're not. And so I asked him a joke, like, hey, well, you know, it's our first podcast, and all right, I'll start off, and what if you can go back in any time in the history of the world, when would that be? Let's just start off the podcast like that. And so he goes, okay, you know, and we literally let 5 minutes go by with me sitting there staring at the camera. He was just pondering for five straight minutes, saying nothing. And then after 5 minutes, he goes, you know what? Last week, I had that upset stomach. And I really want to go back and see what did I eat that caused that. And I get why people were like, I can't believe I sat through 5 minutes for that freaking joke. So you could definitely wear a joke thin.
But it was dependent on that. Because if I would have only waited for a minute, yeah, but I don't know.
It was literally 5 minutes.
No, that one sounds completely justified to me. Yeah. I just mean the action of shooting and shooting and shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really – see, that's why, again, it's fascinating. Your comedy is on point.
Yeah,
that's really funny.
Yeah, I want to make more comedies now because I feel like people really respond well to them. People responded well to the dramas that we did, but I mean, I just love this. I love to just get, like you said, this. It's like a release. I just want to get out this funniness, and it's just people respond so well to our style of comedy, and it's just like, let's keep doing them. Like, you know, we went in with intentions to want to make more serious films. Maybe comedies are where it's at for us. You never know.
I mean, you can do both. Absolutely. I would encourage you to do the comedy, not just as a fan of comedy, but comedy's harder. Mm-hmm. Fewer people can do it. I can tell you as a festival programmer, you know, you get 200 short dramas submitted to a festival and there's like 30, 40 really good ones. And you get 200 comedies, and there's like 10 that are funny. Because a lot can go wrong with comedy that keeps the final product from being as funny as what was on the page.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it is tough. And I mean, again, just the thought of doing a full feature, I would love that challenge. But these little shorts, I just feel like we just kind of. They work for us. Like, we don't really have to do too much.
Well, on the way the world's going, the people's attention span, it's like literally just about enough time. It's like, I don't have enough time for that.
Yeah.
I feel like even sometimes 2 minutes, people are like, 2 minutes?
Man. Yeah. But I feel like you can definitely retain interest if you're doing something funny and absurd, as opposed to like, I really want you to hone in on my dramatic craft. you know, yeah, there's always going to be people that do like that. But I feel like on social media, especially, which is where we were attending, people just want something funny. They just want a quick release. They, you know, and yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So what, tell me about other things you guys have been working on besides the ones you've named. Do you have it sounds like you have a stack of scripts.
We have a stack of ideas. That's what's crazy. Yeah. Like especially with these comedy shorts. And I feel like maybe that's why they have the feel that they do more organic, I would say, is just because we have an idea. We have one idea, another Western that we've been sitting on for a while. We won't tell you what it's about because it'll ruin the whole thing. But it's going to be in the same vein of, you know, these other Westerns that we, it's almost like completing a trilogy.
Yeah, because we, before Shoot 'Em Dead, we did another one called The Dream Rider. And we can talk about that one later on because we're going to eventually post it on a page that we want to promote for, we'll have that. But yeah, it was originally a trilogy. We wanted to do this trilogy, but we just, you know, then COVID happened and we haven't been able to film that one. But yeah, all of these are a trilogy with him as the main character.
All Western.
Yeah. So definitely want to do that. I wrote an idea, another like a darker film, like a kind of like a horror film during COVID. And it's about a 15-page script. I'm just waiting for someone to, you know, want to produce it. And, you know, it's just that waiting game of, you know.
Horror is a very good place to go.
Listening to a podcast? No,
yeah, yeah.
And then you can keep doing silent podcasts. I get it.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, we definitely have a lot of ideas, but we are launching a channel that we're doing on social media that's, you know, just real short stuff. A lot of it we just shoot on our phones. But, yeah, we just want to start a comedy page where we can just – people can keep, you know, they like our style. We're going to keep giving it. But, yeah.
It makes sense, and it's something that it should catch steam.
Yeah, that's – I mean, yeah, there's just you just got to do it. I mean, there's no other – we're going to create. We're going to see how many people it attracts. And in the end, we're enjoying it, and that's what matters most.
We're off to a really good start. We have 84 followers.
Yeah.
Nice.
But 84.
I will say this. 84 real followers.
Yeah.
We don't allow bots.
We don't pay. We don't pay for followers.
We don't follow any of that crud where it's like, oh, you have 250,000 people in only, you know, 500 are real. It's like, no, we have real people following us.
84 real people.
Yeah.
And you don't hop on Instagram and like follow 100 people a day just so they'll follow you back. And then you unfollow them as soon as they follow you back. No.
That's going to be a line in hell. That's going to be one of the lines that people have to wait in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're one of the people that just, you know, you friend people and unfriend them. Okay, this is the line right there. There you go.
I know. Every time someone follows one of the film festival, you know, social media accounts and like they hit follow and then I look at them and, you know, they are following 790 and, you know, and they have, you know, 1200 followers. I'm like, oh, you're just a follower whore. You're just, I'm going to follow you and then you're going to unfollow me.
It's not a follower. It's a follow whore.
Oh, yeah. Follower.
Yeah. You know, it's been fun discovering all that stuff, all the trickery that they do on social media platforms. Like it's a slow evolution. And I remember my first introduction to it. Cause at the time I just thought, oh no, everything's honest. Everything's just, you know, this is how it is. I remember posting, you know, I do a lot of photography and I remember I was at the beach and I took this very boring shot, but it was a close up of a seagull and the seagull was just, it wasn't flapping its wings. It was just a seagull that's probably looking for food. And I took a picture of it, hated the picture, but I posted it, hashtagged it, did all the stuff. And I got someone that put, wow, wish I could have been there. I was like, oh, to see the rare seagull at the, and then I realized, oh, when you hashtag it, like people pay for auto responses.
And like, oh, so that's automated. That's not just.
You always get these people. I always jokingly do it on whenever he posts something, always put sick post, DM me for blah, blah, blah. Cause you always get that. Now you get these people that just it's automated. There's nothing personal about the response, about the comment. They are literally paying for them to you know, that, I don't know, that algorithm, no one will know. It's about as secretive as Coke's secret ingredient. Like, you just won't, we'll never know how the algorithm works.
It is. It's nuts. It's nuts. But it's cool. And it's great that I'm happy to live in an era where, you know, people like yourselves can do fun, interesting stuff and actually get it out there immediately without any kind of gatekeeper to deal with.
Yeah. There's a lot of positive aspects. I just wish, you know, it was a lot more of that. But it's great that everyone gets an opportunity to express themselves and to broadcast themselves. You know, so it is.
Yeah, I like the comedy better than the politics, but yeah, totally.
Yeah. No, we just needed an escape. You know, it's just, it's too loud out there right now. It's just, my mind just, we need to do comedy just to escape, and we don't want it to be tied to any social aspect of what's going on. It's just, let's just make something that's, we've always been about that, whether we're making a drama, whether we're making any film we like, we just like movies that are movies.
Which I think of my favorite movies, it's like, it's just a movie. It's like, I watch movies to just get away into this fake world and imagination and awesome, you know? So it's like, I feel like with us, that's kind of like, we just want to make movies. Hey, why? A lot of times people be like, well, what did you mean about, it's like, man, we just thought of it and we did it.
I'm not that intellectual to like, to have all these deep meanings, unfortunately. I admire those filmmakers, but I just like to make stuff that, I always start with visuals. I'm visual, so I get an idea based off a visual, and then I go, okay, let's build a story. But, you know, whenever I watch those things on YouTube where someone analyzes a film, and I go, holy shit, I don't know, I didn't see any of that happen. This guy is deep. I don't. It takes me a long time to finally appreciate certain movies because I realize, like, when I'm watching it, it's like one dimensional. Like, I'm looking at the visual, I'm looking at the acting, but I miss a lot of hidden meanings. And
but when you write, it sounds like when you write, you see it first.
Yeah, I see it first.
You see a scene or you see a shot and then you build story around that.
Yeah, I just see a shot. I always like to bookend the idea. I always think of the beginning and the end. And then from there, it's kind of just, well, let's just do one full improv through. Let's just see what we think would happen. Maybe this would be the next logical thing. I've never done the whole intricate, you know, I'm not, you know, yeah, there's writers that are really good at that. It's like music theory. It's like crazy, you know, mapping. No, we just kind of go off of what would be the next rational thing that would probably happen. And then you just kind of do that, you know.
You know, I think another reason why your stuff is good is because you think of the end. Some people just think of the beginning and then they don't know where it's going to go. At least you know where you're going.
Yeah. No, it's when you have those two anchors, Then it's fun to surprise yourself to find how you get to that ending, you know, because there's a lot of ways you can take the character, you know, and we're really talking deep about Shoot 'Em Dead.
I assume in a way you're talking about the other stuff you've done, the 15 plus minute or your longer dramas, because obviously Shoot 'Em Dead, you had your start, your finish, but Act Two was pretty. I don't think you changed much.
Which, man, even that day, I just think about how, because again, Vinny's really good at, you know, we talk about, we don't storyboard, especially with these little ones, what the bigger stuff. Yeah. But with these little things that we do, it's like, we have this idea. We'll go have a couple beers, make each other laugh. Oh, what if we did this? Oh, what if there was a guy that did this? Oh, what if it is, you know, and then it pushes it out more and then it starts stretching out. And then Vinny, though, is really good at, you know, he might be MIA for, you know, a couple weeks before the shoot where you're like, but what everybody doesn't know is for those 2 weeks, he's literally filmed it in his head so that by the time it comes to shoot, it's like, we can get a couple ideas. Okay. Yeah. I want to do this. And it's there. It just, and that's how it, to me, it's like, I feel like that it makes it really easy because he's able to just sit and play piano and come up with these ideas and like play the whole thing in his head. So it's not like this, just like, all right, let's just wing it.
Yeah.
It looks like we're winging it, but there is just nights of us just BSing.
Yeah.
Having a beer, and talking these things over and over and over until we go, okay, yeah. Dude, this is getting good enough. We got to shoot this darn thing.
No, yeah. I edit it as I'm already thinking of what the edit would be as I'm shooting it. It's just one of those things. I don't know. I don't know where it comes from, but yeah.
I mean, it comes from you, and I think it comes from practice and the way you develop this skill from a young age.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's one of those things where we've been making stuff that long, so I didn't realize subconsciously I am, you know, garnering this craft that it just, you know, visuals have always been strong with me. I can frame a shot real quick and just know what looks good from what angle based off the lighting, based off the, you know, the inverse square law of the, no, I'm kidding.
And you know what else? Vinny's also really good. You were talking about the edit. He's really good at editing. He understands timing. You know what I mean? Like you should see him when he puts a video together with music. The timing of it, it's like that song was made for that picture. So that part of it is just another craft where I feel like you see a lot of times where it's like, oh man, that just didn't match, or oh, that you just lingered on that shot too long. Yeah. Vinny gets the rhythm.
And I think that comes from, at a young age, I love listening to movie scores. So when I listen to a movie score, even if it's, I don't even have to remember the movie that it's part of, but you hear the swells. So suddenly you realize, oh, this is where you would cut to this. This feels so epic, so it should be a wide shot. You should cut to a wide to really let it breathe. It's just, you know, it's just music's always been a big thing of mine too. So, but film scores, listening to those, I always put them on because I just feel like it does help exercise a vision. You can just see it kind of.
Yeah, well, what you're saying, I mean, music is all about, music is timed.
Yeah.
And editing is timed. And I got to say, I mean, your editing is great. And Shoot 'Em Dead, comedy is the hardest thing to cut. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many comedies that were funny on the page, funny on the set. And, you know, if just a basic, I mean, there's such a thing as a drama editor, but if an editor who does not have comedic timing cuts it, the joke is gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and you learn the hard way. You know, it's like, especially if you don't have a good radar for that. You just, you know, there's some people that are like tone deaf, but it's like others are just like, no, you have to have a good, you know, I don't know how to. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you have a knack for it, I don't even know if you can teach comedic timing, right? That's got to be something. You can't sit someone down who doesn't have it and say, if you cut three frames earlier to Drew's face, it's going to be funny.
And I think that I've always been real meticulous with how I edit. I count frames because I know every frame counts. And in one frame, an eye can blink right before you cut, and that looks weird. I look for all those minuscule things. So yeah, I think that in tandem with my love for music, I can feel what feels right. Like it just, yeah. But, yeah, it's
comedy.
Comedy.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you have me very curious to hear your each of your answers to those four questions about favorite films and whatnot.
Sweet.
Before we jump into that, is there anything else you guys want to mention before I do a closing spiel and tell people how to watch your film again and whatnot?
Well, like I said, we are at 84 followers. We're hoping that after this podcast, maybe we get up to 85.
Well, so, and what? It's at what?
It's the Macias Brothers.
It's the _ Macias _ Brothers.
On Instagram.
We will include that in all our posts.
Yeah, that's really where we mainly stay. I don't have a TikTok, a Snapchat, a Facebook. I don't have any of that. We just have Instagram for now. Yeah.
I think Instagram is kind of the boss right now anyway. I think you're in the right place.
I don't even know TikTok that much.
There's just too many things.
But I just
pick one and just let's go for this one, man. If not, I just spread thin.
And it also comes down to like, you know, we don't want all of our attention to be sucked into that stuff, because I've seen someone like, you need to be on TikTok. It's just like every flick of your finger, you're on a new page with a new, you're just ingesting new stuff. It's like, dude, that's too much. I get overwhelmed by even Instagram. Like I have to stay off it half the time because it just sucks my focus away, and I don't want that. So I couldn't imagine managing 8 social media accounts. It's just, it's too overwhelming. Like I just, and I do think Instagram still is, like you said, the boss. Like it, you know, it's when people think of social media now, I feel like they think of Instagram. So.
And I mean, you're visual and it's pictures and videos now.
Yeah. And I love, yeah. So yeah, I feel like with Instagram, I don't know if TikTok allows you to upload long video. I don't know. Like I know back in the day they had Vine video and it was only 7-second videos, which is insane. But yeah, no, I think Instagram's layout, interface, everything's very user-friendly. Yeah, I don't have time for all the other stuff. We just don't. We're old timers.
Cool. I'm gonna cross my fingers. You can top 100 pretty soon.
Hey,
and then 1,000.
Got to 84 in like a day. So
nice.
Oh, I mean, we're not tooting our own horn here, but
wait, it's only a day old. Is that what you're saying?
Oh no, it's probably been a week.
Well, no, we've had it up for a week, but like, no, I think I'm lying to you. I think Drew caught me.
It's been up for like a week.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, how many followers?
Well, we got it quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're asking how long it's been up. Like, yeah, for about like a week. But yeah, like we within a day we put it on our other personal accounts and it started flooding in. But
flooding. It was 84.
It was the world's second great flood. It was insane.
We were crying all day with just the outpour.
We already got someone that DM'd us for like a, hey, I can.
Did you hit him up?
I haven't.
It's $20. Come on, man. This guy hit us up like, hey, I want to put you on my page. And I was like, okay, go ahead, do it. Rock my world, baby. He's like, well, you have to pay for it. I'm like, yeah, go kick rock.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna prove you don't need anything.
Organic, all organic.
Yeah, we get real followers.
Yeah, you don't want
I wish we could do more, you know, film circuits with it. With festivals, it's like I just love that idea of in person showcasing it. It's just such a fun. I mean, the shirt that your festival was so fun. It was just so quaint, but it was with people that are real passionate. I really enjoyed that one. So I want to do more of that, and maybe it's our hope when we finish the third one, we can do another, you know, another showcase with you. But I miss doing in-person things, you know, and garnering fans that way, you know.
It sure has been a weird year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Although I will say this, I was at a venue, and I was filming a buddy's show. They needed me to film their show, their band, and I had this big camera. It's huge, old school camcorder. And I was filming and there was this girl next to me and she kept looking at me and I looked at her and she was like, that's a really big camera. Was it expensive? And I was like, oh yeah, yeah. It's, you know, for when it came out, we started going back and forth. And then she immediately just went, can I have do you have Instagram? And I was like, oh yeah. And I gave her my Instagram. She followed me and then literally just walked away and I followed her. She walked away, and then I noticed, like, after that, I hit her up again. I go, hey, I was that guy. It was great talking to you. Never responded to me. Wanted nothing to do with me. And I was like, oh, no, I met a follow whore. That was it.
She was literally just wanted one more on hers.
That is nuts.
Yeah, so it's kind of nutty.
I've been telling him to stop Messenger, but it's been, what, like 30 days now straight?
2 years.
2 years straight.
So, you know, man, I don't mind that we don't have a huge following because I know everyone that follows us appreciates us. It's genuine. I wouldn't want to have 100,000 fake followers. Like, why? Like, that's just it. There's no fulfillment. So.
Agreed. 100%. All right. Well, at @V_Macias_brothers
mm-hmm.
is how you find work by these two gentlemen. And if you want to see their film, Shoot 'Em Dead, I'm sure there's a lot of ways to find it, but you can go to Amazon Prime Video and search for Discover Indie Film and go to season 3, episode 8 and watch an absolutely hilarious film followed by 3 more hilarious films in that episode. And if you want to learn more about this podcast and the TV series it gave birth to, go to discoveryindiefilm.com and on social media, it's @DIFWINS. And the film festival that Shoot 'Em Dead was in was the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, and we hold that every November. If you want to learn about that, ShermanOaksFF.com, and it's @ShermanOaksFF on social media. And there is a sister festival in June that is called Film Invasion Los Angeles, and that is filminvasionla.com and at filminvasionla on social media. And I might have forgotten. I always forget. If you're listening to this and you check out the series on Prime Video, give it 5 stars. Why not give it 5 stars? And if you're listening to this, give this podcast 5 stars. And if you ever see anything by the Macias brothers, give it 5 stars. We should be drowning in stars.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to stop recording so that we can start recording again and hear what your favorite films are.